I'm Chris. I got my hair cut this week. And I got it cut, and I walked into the office, and someone said, "Wait, that was Chris's voice, but Brad's head. What just happened there?" And so, but I did get my hair cut this week, so hey, I got my hair cut. Next Sunday is Easter, and we are baptizing on Easter. We have 11 people scheduled to be baptized next week. Let's thank the Lord for that. I say that because maybe you have not yet followed through in baptism. We have room for you. Next week, it is an incredible day to be baptized if you haven't done that. If that's you, Casey, I want you to wave. Everybody look at Casey. She's waving her hand back there. Everybody turn around and look at her. She's the very back. And go see her after the service, just right out there in the foyer. We would love for you to be baptized next week. And Keith prayed for something. I want to thank you for giving. Our family gave today, and you know, giving is such a joy because we get to do things like the Passion Week experience. We're doing that this week, and it is a phenomenal opportunity for you to invite your family, your friends, your neighbors, your just people you run into. Just yesterday, I was buying dirt. We built a garden in our house, and I was buying some dirt, and this young lady was helping me. I was paying for this dirt, and you know, I invited her to the Passion Week. It was just a natural conversation. I wasn't holding up the line. No one was behind me. And you know what she said to me? She said, "Thank you so much for inviting me to your church. I really appreciate it." You know, it's such an opportunity to invite somebody. And it's amazing how people kind of know, I need that. And so I want to encourage you to invite somebody this week. We have the opportunity to help our community see Christ. And when you think about the importance of this moment, the importance of seeing the cross for me, it helps me remember that God has been faithful in the past. And because he's been faithful in the past, I know that I can trust him today. With the things that I worry about, the things that are in my life, I can trust the Lord today. And because he's been faithful in the past and he proves himself today, it shows that I can trust him tomorrow. I don't know what you've come in here with. But I want you to know, we're going to look at this incredible passage of Scripture in John chapter 19. In fact, turn there. John chapter 19. And it speaks to this incredible truth that God has been faithful in the past. And here's what we know. Because of that, that helps me understand that God's faithful right now. And know this. God is going to be faithful in the future. Let's stand together and let's read John chapter 19. We're going to be in the end of verse 16. And then we're going to read through verse 37. So that's where we are, John 19, the end of verse 16 through the verse 37. And let's read this. "So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Do not write 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.' Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier, also his tunic. The tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to another, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, they divided the garments among them and cast, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciples whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put it on a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken so that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, this week, we were at, it was kind of light around the office because so many people were gone for spring break. And Amber and a couple of folks in the office kind of made some changes. And I walked in, and they had put these pictures up that were super cool. They're like pictures of our kids' ministry, pictures of baptisms. And I was like, oh my goodness, I love it. I love the pictures. Where did we get those? And we're like, oh, we just printed them. I said, where did we get those frames? And they were like, oh, they were already in the same spot. And I was like, really? There was a picture there? I go, what was there? I couldn't even remember the picture that I had walked by for 12 years. Right? And it dawned on me as I was preparing for today. For 2,000 years, Christians have been coming this week talking about and thinking about the suffering of Christ on the cross. And how tempting it is to just get so used to the suffering of Christ that it becomes like, hey, yeah, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Hey, would you pass the gravy? You know what my prayer is this week? Is that we really see Jesus. That we recognize the significance of the cross, the suffering on the cross, that we begin to embrace a deeper understanding of the suffering, because the passion, Jesus' passion for the world is real. His passion for you is real. It's so real that Jesus, God in the flesh, went to the cross. And this week, we have an incredible opportunity, we really do, to help our friends and our family and our neighbors and people we run into that, hey, come and I want you to see Jesus. I want you to see what he did on the cross. Let's lift him up. You know, we, today, if you're in our Bible reading, and I hope you read our Bible, I hope you're reading with us as we go along in the New Testament. We read Luke chapter 4 today. And in Luke chapter 4, we read that incredible account in verse 43 where Jesus said to them, he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose, he says. And you know what we get to do this week? We get to continue that story, continue that calling to lift up in this community who Jesus is and what he did on the cross. You know, the cross story, the suffering of the on the cross, it is so important for us. It's important for us to understand and recognize and embrace. And the cross proves the faithfulness of God. The cross proves that God has been faithful in the past. And because God has been faithful in the past, I want you to know he's faithful today. You can trust him today. And I promise you, because he's been faithful in the past, and he gives power today, whatever you're worried about tomorrow, he's faithful. But this passage in John 19, open your Bibles, let's look at this, let's dig into this, because this passage continues to prove that salvation is on display to the entire world. And that's what the cross says. It shows that salvation is on display in the world. Look at verse 16. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Notice verse 19. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on a cross, on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said that I am the King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Now this is such an important moment. This is something we should pay attention to, we should grab a hold of. Salvation is on display in front of the whole world. And I run into people at times that say, "Hey, I wish God would show me a sign. I wish God would give me a sign." He did. It was listed at the top of the cross. It was a literal sign. Jesus, the King of the Jews. And, you know, the enemies of Christ, the chief priests and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they didn't like this inscription. It's obvious here. While they were gloating over the death of Jesus, what are they doing? They're staring at a sign, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." They don't like it. Now, it's probably been a while since some of you have dug into grammar, right? Let's dig into some grammar. The grammar's helpful today. Because when you dig into the grammar and you notice what John does, the John the Apostle, when he says that right here that, look, Jesus, the King of the Jews. It's interesting, John uses the imperfect tense to describe how these chief priests say to Pilate, "Would you change it?" He uses the imperfect tense. Here's what that means grammatically. It doesn't mean they went once. It meant that they kept going to the chief priest saying, "Hey, look, change it. Hey, Pilate, would you change it? Hey, Pilate, did you hear us? We said you should change it, that he just said that he was King of the Jews." John uses that imperfect tense to show that they keep going to him. Do you know what Pilate does? It's interesting as you think about, Pilate said, "I won't change it," and John uses the Greek perfect tense, which literally means when Pilate says he's annoyed at these guys going, "Change it, change it, change it." "No, I'm not going to change it." And he says, "What I have written," in the perfect tense, "I have written." And if you literally translate that grammatically, he says, "What I have written, I have written, and it will always remain written." Gentlemen, think of the significance of that. If you want to look for a sign for God being real, look at the cross. Because even Pilate makes a statement, "I have written what I have written, and it will always remain. Folks, let me tell you something. When Jesus went to the cross, that was God as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And what you see on the cross is Jesus in complete control of everything. You see this message? Jesus is the King of the Jews. Was the dominant message that Christ, that God gave the world. Think about in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, from the very beginning of his life, Matthew 2, 2 tells us that these magi, these wise men come into the city, come into Bethlehem and said, hey, look, a king has been born. We've come bearing gifts because there's a king. From the moment of his birth, the world got the message that Jesus is the king. John 12, verse 13, this day, the Passion Week, the day of the triumphal entry when Jesus enters the city. And what happens on this day? The whole city gathers. They lay palm branches down as Jesus walks in riding on a donkey. And this donkey walks in and they are saying, Hosanna, the King is here. Then you look at last week, we looked at John 18 when Jesus is before Pilate and Pilate says, are you a king? And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. I am a king. Right here in John 19, and you see the sign on the cross written, look, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This is a message, a sign I want you to see. A sign the world needs to see. A sign that's been lifted up in the world all for 2,000 years. And this is one of the reasons why I don't want to go through this Easter going, yeah, I've been there, I know that story, I've done this. But we see Jesus. You know, let's not forget what Revelation 19:16 says, that ultimately Christ will come back as King. He's going to come back as Lord of Lords. And folks, today's the day of salvation. And maybe you've come today and you've not seen him as King. Maybe you've gotten, not moved by the cross. Today, I want us to contemplate the calling of the Jewish people. I've been trying to do that this week. Just contemplate the calling of the Jewish people. Exodus 19, verse 6. Flip over there. I want you to see a couple of things. You're gonna have to travel in your Bible today. I'm going to push you a little bit today. But Exodus 19, 6 says, and you shall be to me. When you think about the Jewish people, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people. From the time of Moses in Exodus 19, he says, this is the people. You're going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. I'm going to put my hand on you, Israel. I'm going to put my blessing on you. I'm going to lead you. You are to be a kingdom of priests. What does a priest do? A priest historically points people to the Savior. This is an entire nation. Their calling is to be a kingdom of priests. I just, one of the reasons I believe in the faithfulness of God, one of the reasons I want to challenge you to trust the Lord, whatever's going on in your life, because all through history in the past, God has said, out of Israel, they will be a nation. The calling, they have a calling to point the world to a Savior. Notice the sign on the cross. There's the King of the Jews. Contemplate the calling of the Jewish people. Consider the divine blessing on the Jewish people. When I look back, one of the reasons I trust the Lord today is that I can look back and I can recognize it's a unique blessing of God's hand on the Jewish people. Here's this nation that has historically been stuck between the fists of world powers. They've never been empowered. They've never they've been like attempts at extermination all through history. Culture after culture has tried to eliminate the Jews, and yet here they are. And when you think about the past, Genesis 18:18, it was this moment that God said to Abraham, seeing that Abraham, flip over to Genesis 18:18, look at this, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Genesis 18:18. All the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. Why? Because when Jesus hung on the cross, there he was, the King of the Jews. Salvation is found in none other. Notice the blessing of the Jewish people. Consider that. Let me tell you, that's one of the reasons why today I trust the Lord. It's why tomorrow, no matter what comes, I'm going to trust the Lord. It's been moving this week to consider the divine blessing on the Jewish people. But you know what I pray happens this week in our city with my family, my friends, the people that I see at the store, that in my own life, every one of you, I pray we come to grips with the call of the Jewish people. You know the call of the Jewish people, right? It's why those Pharisees and those chief priests were like, don't take that sign down. Just say that he said he was King of the Jews. No, Pilate was right. This is the King of the Jews. And you know what? They struggled to come to grips with the call of the Jewish people. You know, we're studying the book of John this year. We finished John chapter 3. We jumped to John 18 and 19 and 20 through the Easter season. After Easter, we're going to go back to John 4. After Easter, we're going to rub shoulders with the Samaritan woman. John chapter 4, verse 22, we'll get to it. But he says to this woman, "You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know," Jesus says, "for salvation is from the Jews." I want you to see the cross today. I want you to notice the sign on the cross today. If you ever have the question, "God, show me a sign," go look at the cross, because there's the King of the Jews. Salvation is on display to the entire world. And I don't want you to miss it. Another glaring truth from this passage, and it's one of the reasons why I trust the Lord, and one of the reasons I want to stand confidently and say, you should trust him too. Because God keeps every promise he makes. You know that about God, right? God has made promises. The master of this whole place has made promises. And he keeps every one of them. Look at verse 23 in John 19. It says, "When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be.' This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" And John just says, so the soldiers did these things. Huh. God's been faithful in the past, right? Hey, let's pay attention to the garment. Notice the garment. The garment proves this. The garment's pretty interesting. You know, a normal Jew wore five pieces of clothing, sandals, a turban, a belt, an inner tunic, and an outer robe. And you know, as Jesus was being crucified, let's think about the scene here. It's a gruesome scene, and here he is dying on the cross, and these soldiers are at the foot of the cross, and they're placing bets for this tunic that was pretty valuable. It's one piece of cloth. And they notice this is valuable. Hey, let's not tear this. Let's gamble for this. Let's realize these are Roman soldiers, totally clueless about Psalm 22, right? Flip over to Psalm 22. You got to write these down because you may be wondering if you can trust the Lord. Let's recognize Psalm 22 as this historic messianic psalm. Every Jewish teacher understood this was a psalm about the Messiah. This was a psalm about the Messiah that was going to come into the world. Verses 16 through 18 in Psalm 22. The whole psalm is about Jesus. I can't read all of it, but look at verse 16. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garment among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Huh. Wow. And John just goes, yeah, the soldiers did this. Jesus is faithful in the past. The garment speaks to this. Look at verse 25. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, notice this, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. 1 Corinthians 15:3 says this. Paul writes this, for I delivered to you of most importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. Every time you see, oh, in the scripture it says, you ought to pay attention. It reminds you that God has been faithful in the past. Know that whatever you're facing, he's faithful today, and he'll be faithful tomorrow. But pay attention to the thirst. He said, I thirst. And this whole interesting thing that takes place, do you realize this is a direct fulfillment of another messianic psalm, Psalm 96? Flip over there. Psalm 69. I've done a few number errors today. I did in the first service, but I'll fix it. Psalm 69, verse 19 through 21 says this. Psalm 69, 19 through 21. You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. So fascinating to recognize that even in this moment of the cross, Jesus paid attention to every detail. It shows that Christ was in control the whole time. I also want you to look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 22. Flip over there. Exodus 12, 22. Notice this. This is this moment of the Passover. And these biblical connections are fascinating. Exodus 12, 22 says this, take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. Isn't it interesting that even at this moment of Passover, when the blood of the lamb needed to be applied, they took hyssop and put it on the door. And it's so very interesting that in the moment of the death of Christ, these Roman soldiers are fulfilling the prophecy of Psalm 69. And in this moment in Exodus 12, as they follow this practice to incredible detail. The thirst helps me recognize that God's been faithful in the past. He's faithful today. He'll be faithful tomorrow. The thirst is interesting. Look at verse 30. When he had received the sour wine, and he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit, since it was the day of preparation. And so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, it was Passover day, and the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they may be taken away. So the soldiers came out and broke the legs of the first, of the other who had been crucified with, and of the other who had been crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. No broken bones. Huh. You realize that that's a direct messianic prophecy of Psalm 34, 18 through 20. Look at Psalm 34. This is a beautiful psalm of the Messiah. It says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and serves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken." No, God has been faithful in the past. He's faithful today. He'll be faithful tomorrow, and the cross proves it over and over again, because notice the sign, Jesus, the King of the Jews. Look at verse 34. I love what John says here. "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water." And then John just says this, and I can't wait to meet John in heaven. You know, he's the only one that didn't leave. He's my favorite disciple because he didn't bail. That's who I want to be. I don't ever want to bail on the Lord. Let's be a church that never bails on the Lord. Look what he says. "He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth, that you also may believe." You see, sometimes we get, kind of casual about the cross because we just don't believe like we need to believe. Trust him. He's faithful in the past. He's faithful today. Let me tell you something. Whatever you're worried about, he's faithful tomorrow. Look at verse 36. "For these things took place so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken." And notice verse 37. And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." Let's connect to the piercing. The piercing helps us understand the faithfulness of God. You know what's fascinating is these chief priests and these people that were leading the charge, take that down. Take that sign down. It's right in front of them. Prophecies that they knew. They knew Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Look at that. Look at Zechariah 12, verse 10. "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look on me, on him whom they have pierced, they shall weep, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and weep bitterly over him as one weeps for a firstborn son. See, they knew this. They knew Zechariah. And I want us to just feel today, it's on the cross that this sign is right in front of us that says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. I want you to recognize what it means, how it speaks, how it moves us. And how often we miss what's right in front of our eyes. I don't want us to do that. I don't want our people in our city to do that. I don't want people that I know to do that, to miss what's right in front of their eyes, or to go, yeah, okay, he died on the cross, yeah. Okay. But we feel it. We're moved by it. You know, I've been thinking about this. I remembered an old song that I knew years ago. I listened to it on the way here by a band called Tree 63 that wrote this song, and the essence of it is, Jesus, what you've done for me is so amazing on the cross. I'm not worried about this has so impacted my life. All I want to do is think about what I can do for you. And that moved me today. Because I'm learning over and over again. God has been faithful in the past. He's faithful today. And hey, I want you to know he's going to be faithful tomorrow. In fact, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount this incredible truth, do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Folks, it was finished on the cross. And the implications are huge. The faithfulness of God is on display in front of the whole world, in front of you. And this week, we have this incredible opportunity, and I don't want to miss our ambassador opportunity. You realize that's a calling we have, right? To be an ambassador for Christ. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21 says this, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. It is as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And it is a joy that I sacrificially give to this church to do things like what we're doing. It is a joy that I turn my face to the local church where God has called me, to this community, where God has called us to and moved us to point people to Jesus and not just go through the motions, but not miss the sign that is right in front of us, that there is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Salvation is on display. And look at verse 37. Oh my goodness. Let's feel verse 37. And again, another scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. Joe, come on up. That's what makes Easter so sweet. That's what makes this week so important. What are we called to do? In moments, we're going to ask you to stack chairs. And people are lined up to get, look at all this stuff that's everywhere. I mean, If you're visiting today, you might go, what's up with their decorations around here? And let me tell you something, these are staged. Like this is going to be transformed in the matter of hours. Let me tell you something, we're going to work our tails off in the next 7 days, 8 days. Why? Because we want our community to look on him whom they pierced. Oh, remember Isaiah 53? 750 years before Jesus came. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, you're healed. Hey, I promise you, I'm going to be a voice today. God has been faithful in the past. Let me tell you something. He's faithful today. And today's the day of salvation. Today, people in our lives need to see he who was pierced. And hey, you mark my words, because it's not my words. He's going to be faithful tomorrow. Those are words that I've learned from the man that hung on the cross, that Jesus who's the King of the Jews. And what did Pilate say? What I have written, and it will remain. It'll remain. You don't often get to quote Pilate in the positive. But that dude nailed it right there. Unfortunately, he missed it in his life. Oh, how sad that would be. I don't want you to miss it. Let's not miss it. Here's what I want us to do. We're going to have an invitation. There's going to be some people that will be around the room praying. So let's have that team kind of go around the room. And look, we want to pray with you. You may be here today and you're like, golly, I've been doubting. I got stuff in my life. I'm struggling in my life. Hey, let's go to the Lord. Let's turn to him. Turn to the Lord. Let us help you. Look, we all need Jesus. We need him today. So you come. Let us pray with you. But what I want to ask you to do before you get up and pray, that you just, Joe's going to lead us in this song. We've already sung it once today. I want you to just pray for Passion Week, that people would come to Christ. Pray for your role in bringing somebody. Pray for God to use you. Pray for somebody that you need to ask. And then when you're ready, you stand. If you need to pray with somebody, you come right now. And you go to somebody. We have men and women around the room. They're at the back. They're at the front. They're on the sides. You come. But let's pray. Let's ask God to use us this week. Lord Jesus, we love you. And Father, we today want to look on you who was pierced. And Father, we want to be faithful to help our community look on you who was pierced. Move us today. Use us this week. Thank you for being faithful in the past, because it shows that you're faithful today and you will be faithful tomorrow. So it's with joy we come and give you all we have. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for this moment. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.